Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, and the heart and soul of professional wrestling, Tommy Dreamer and I go through all the news and rumors with our very own Justin Labar right here on the Busted Open Podcast. Also, one of the greatest moments in WrestleMania history was the match between Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 35. We relive that moment, plus talk about the big win over Bobby Lashley on Monday Night Raw with Kofi Kingston right now on the Busted Open Podcast. How about the fact that they're going back to a live event schedule July 16th? Interesting.
Interesting, exciting, huge. I mean, this is, every week, I feel like every day, in fact, in the past, a couple weeks, it feels like there's another sense of normalcy, not with just pro wrestling, but just in life, returning. And this is huge, And I think, WWE fan. So if you're a WWE fan, maybe you don't watch AEW, you don't watch anything else. You need to thank AEW because, I alluded to such, in a previous Friday whenever AEW had announced, they're opening up back to fans with Double or Nothing. And then they're touring they're going to do in Texas and in Florida. And I said, this is great news because this is going to force the hand of a WWE, especially because you don't want to be, you don't want to be the last one to the dance. Right. And I think WWE's, original plan was, okay, SummerSlam with fans. And then from that point on, we're out of the Thunderdome. We're back to conventional touring in arena shows. And this has obviously now accelerated that to where now they're, an entire month before returning to do shows mid-July, right around Money in the Bank, which, by the way, I think that's a great switch up too. Money in the Bank normally would have been in June. Hell in a Cell normally, I think, October. And they switched that up. But that plays for a lot of reasons to the benefit of the situation. So this is really exciting. This really, again, as a wrestling fan, you can start to breathe some fresh air and, okay, we're finally getting back to where we need to be.
Yeah, and you said something that's interesting. It's so true. Hell in a Cell, it's not ideal. You can play that in the Thunderdome. I really don't think it makes that big of a difference. Money in the Bank, as we knew from what we saw last year, you need to have a live audience in attendance. You need to hear the oohs and the ahs. I'm so glad that they made that switch.
Yeah, Hell in a Cell is it is one of those events. I mean, obviously, it's I still don't like the fact that it has an entire event gimmicked around it. I still, that's just me. But it's one of those. It's a gimmick in a format that plays well to the closed set of the Thunderdome. And what I mean is, with no fans there, you can set things up, whether it be spots, whether it be something maybe you pre-taped and work it into look live. There's a lot of things you can do that Hell in a Cell plays to having a closed set and is exciting enough that it works. But yeah, Money in the Bank. I mean, last year's Money in the Bank, they were on the roof of Titan Towers in Stanford. I mean, creative for what it was and made the best of what they could do, but that'll be a great event, a great exciting event to have fans. And I wouldn't put it past however they book it. I wouldn't put it past, working in a Money in the Bank briefcase captured at the start of the night and, a cash in by the end of the night, just because you're going to have a raucous and enthusiastic bunch in Fort Worth, Texas. Happy to be back cheering for WWE.
Another thing, too, with things opening up, it seems like, you know, and Tommy and I were talking about it earlier in the show. You know, are fans going to be comfortable enough to go out there and be around people again? I know it sounds strange, but people have kind of got accustomed to being in their home over the last 15 months. So it could go either way. Either it could hurt or it could help. But it seems like, especially with AEW and the shows that they have up for sale, that fans are coming back in droves, it seems.
Well, yeah. I mean, and look, it's not like, you know, you have to make the effort. You have to buy the ticket, spend the money, buy the ticket, get to said venue. So, I mean, anybody that's getting there wants to be there. And I look at, you know, last night, you know, everybody's, it's going to be interesting to see how the policies are dictated across the board. But I look at just last night, NHL playoffs, you know, not too far from either you or Tommy, on Long Island. You know, there was the Islanders and the Penguins, and there was part of the arena that was the norm as we have it now of socially distanced pockets of fans. But then there was one curl of it that it was shoulder to shoulder craziness, and that was the fully vaccinated side of the arena.
Yeah.
Everybody's fully vaccinated, no masks needed, you know. So I don't know what how WWE, how AEW, I don't know what their policies are going to be, or if it's going to vary city to city, state to state. But anybody that's, you have to make the effort. You want to be, I don't think there's gonna be any doubt of, if you're at the arena to watch this pro wrestling event, you want to be there. You're not being forced to be there. You're gonna be loud, and you're gonna be appreciative. I look forward to the fact we're not gonna have beach balls being thrown around. We're not gonna have boring. I don't even think you're gonna have you fucked up. I think there's gonna be there's gonna be a honeymoon period, at least for a little bit, of people just being appreciative, as they always should have been, mind you, appreciative of the guys and girls that are out there trying to entertain them.
Well, you look at too, and it's funny. It's like the mad scramble for Texas, because they can go full fans. And, you know, the bottom line is also money. You look at the playoffs. Why did they, you know, go to open up more money for people to go for playoffs? Hockey, I said it when I talked about my podcast, you know, this is how we have to live. And I know AEW has gone above and beyond to get people tested, fans too. Baseball has done it. I don't know when they're offering it up, you know, when there's no restrictions in Texas. So if there's no restrictions, legally, you don't have to do anything. And wrestling is going to be a lot different than any other sport. I know for myself, man, you know, when I went and did my one event, I remember I went to the ring and like fans were literally holding their hands up for me to touch. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it, you know, and I'm a baby face, but it's going to be different. I remember when they just opened up baseball, it was in Texas and that new stadium was packed. A dude hit the first home run there. Some guy caught it and you had so many different people. I watch it like everyone's doing the high five. You had some people at mass, some people not doing it mass. You know, the world has changed, as well as it's interesting to see how professional wrestling has to adapt. If me personally, if I'm a businessman, and I know this is going to sound ruthless, but I'm a pure businessman. If the government says I don't have to follow these rules, then I don't have to follow these rules. But like I'm looking at states also that are, like, what is New York going to do? I know Pennsylvania has you have to have a COVID compliance officer if you're going to run an event there. So it's going to be weird, but mad scramble for Texas will be interesting until if the rates go back up or start spiking, you'll see live events go away.
Yeah,
Tommy, is COVID going to do away with the long tradition of the worker's handshake? Are we just going to move to fist bumps? Are we just going to move to how good to see, or are we going to go back to got to shake everybody's hand?
Listen, I almost got it eliminated in WWE a long time ago. And then, but it is completely eliminated in Impact Wrestling. So I have established that.
Good on you. You're in textbooks now, if you weren't already.
No, but Justin brings up another good point, Tommy. Like, we've seen now over the last couple months where, you know, things are open up in Florida and Texas and not really anywhere in the country. That's starting to change. But he's talking about the NHL playoff game where it's like one side of the arena is the non-vaccinated people socially distanced. And then on the other side of the arena is the vaccinated people shoulder to shoulder going crazy. Like, so that's in the same building. Like, we're not even talking about different states now. Now we're talking about the, it's almost like nanny, nanny, poo, poo. Look what we can do and you can't do. It's crazy right now what's going on.
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens over the course of the summer. What happens once we get to the fall, especially, God forbid, if numbers start to spike again, like Tommy talked about. All right. Sticking with the WWE, multiple reports about the releases in NXT over the course of the last couple of days. What's the latest that you can tell us with some of the names that now seem to be gone from NXT, Justin?
Yeah, you know, a handful of names, some with some surprise. You know, Drake Wirtz, a referee, you know, he was released. There was some you know, rumblings for a while about his standing in the company and situation. Ezra Judge is one. A lot of fans, you know, casual fans may not know him. He wasn't somebody who was on NXT TV, but he, you know, big guy, former NFL player, just kind of, you know, one of the mantras going around about him. He's kind of like the, you know, kind of like what you say about Randy Orton. It's kind of like, if you're going to build a pro wrestler, if you're going to create a wrestler, this is the guy you're going to create, you know, 6'6", 6'7", athletic, hell of a look. He was released, you know, again, a lot of things, a lot of people, anybody, you know, at least anybody that I've just casually talked to, nobody really has a lot of insight as necessarily why. Alexander Wolf, of course, he was part of Imperium, yeah. So he was kicked out. He's been let go. He did comment on social media saying that he's going to be a free agent. His contract with him technically runs up next month, so he'll be a free agent, I think, something like June 16th. Jessamyn Duke, you know, some people know of her. She was, you know, a part of the Rousey Four Horsewomen, yep, that came from the MMA world into the WWE world. She's been released. And mind you, it doesn't mean that none of these people, guys or girls, couldn't come back, but that's just what's been happening now. And then, of course, the biggest name of note is Velveteen Dream. Dream been absent from TV since late last year. Last match was, you know, I think the parking lot brawl against Adam Cole. Again, Dream. Not without some speculation and or rumor, innuendo, controversy around him that seems to finally came to a head, but he's been let go. So, yeah, it's been a crazy week trying to keep tabs on what's going on in Orlando with the Performance Center and the NXT bunch.
Yeah, and see what happened to, like, Velveteen Dream, Patrick Clark, because he came out of that show and, you know, such high hopes for him, especially as the character Velveteen Dream, and things just went south about, I guess, now well over a year ago, and people are waiting for this to happen, and now it seems like it finally happened, Justin. So
yeah, and you know, it's tough because, like, you know, Triple H does his media calls. He always at least does one the week leading up to the takeovers, so I guess there'll be one next month. And he'd been asked several times over the past year on these calls, like, what about Dream? What about this thing that we're seeing on social media? And, you know, and to no surprise, he wasn't going to, you know, he gave an answer he needed to give to, you know, I think even to the point of, I think one answer was, you know, they were doing their own investigation and let's move off of this. So it's going to bring about, he's going to get asked, you know, inevitably.
And the accusations are strong too. So no, go ahead, Tommy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Listen, if WWE does their investigation, besides your personal whatever's going on, I feel if WWE did their accusations and it came out positive, they would have released the person immediately, or they would sever ties immediately. They did do that to a few talents. My also thing, and it's kind of like, if you look at the horizon, for me, if I'm, again, a business owner, I have someone who's not on my television. I have somebody who, yes, is a charismatic person. Yes, is a good wrestler. Hasn't been on my show in a while. And it's the Wally Pipp. And that's a very, very old reference. Wally Pipp was the Yankees first baseman before Lou Gehrig, who then went on and was, you know, played all the time. Why do I need this person? And then it's like, well, we're going to call this person up to main roster if they have this negative stigma to them. It's literally that's how it goes. Why do I need that person? My machine kept on rolling along without them. I left WWE's ECW because I was not happy. But did that ECW shut down? No, the machine went on. It shut down later, not too long later. But it was just like, hey, we don't need Tommy Dreamer to keep this ECW thing rolling. It's going to keep on rolling without it. But if I was sitting on the sidelines and or, hey, I want to come back in, I want to come back in. Well, guess what? We don't need you. It's interesting to see when the landscape, you know, we're coming up at, you know, I'm going Slammiversary, Impact Wrestling, all the talents that were released a while ago. If I'm those talents, I'm looking back and I'm looking at the landscape of things and I'm like, okay, well, now a bunch of younger talents have been released. What team do I go to? And I better start doing these negotiations quickly, because if not, they're going to pick somebody else. That's the business, you know. There's a lot more free agents out there, and then that takes up the marketplace for where they're going to go. And you can't sign everybody, and then there's going to be talents who won't be signed at all. So that's the business aspect of it as well. If I'm asked that on the, if I'm Triple H, I would just say, you know, hey, we decided to let him go. That's it. I mean, you don't have to go why, all stuff. And the person who'd ask, I'd ban on the call and you'd all be scared of me for the next time to ask me a question to piss me off. All of you. I know who you're all on that show.
Now, Tommy, that's a great point though. I mean, that's a really a good angle to look at it, as you're right, is that they haven't had Dream on TV since December. And what's happened in that time? You know, there wasn't any big drop in viewership. They've moved, you know, they've moved to a different night and they're doing even better. So I think that's a really good way to look at it, and I don't know if that was part of the plan or if that's just what they can look at now, but that's a great point. Is it like, look, it's not like NXT didn't halt. There wasn't a mass boycott of people on social media. Where's our Velveteen Dream? If anything, it's, you know, more often than not when Dream would get mentioned and asked about, there was, you know, all the negative that followed it. So that's a really good angle to look at it, is, you know, the machine is going to keep on rolling.
Absolutely. Out of sight, out of mind. You know, like on this show, Justin, a lot of people calling in, where the hell's Keith Lee? You know, Keith Lee came in, beats Randy Orton. It looks like he's going to steamroll into the main event, be a major player on Monday Night Raw. And he's been off of TV forever. And it's very rare that you hear Keith Lee's name. And then when you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, but where the hell is Keith Lee? But it comes to the point where it's like out of sight, out of mind, because go back to what Tommy just said. The machine just keeps on rolling. And in the world of the WWE especially, there's no name, especially now the last 10 years in this company, there's no name bigger than the brand name of the WWE.
And my eye is on you, LaGreca. Don't start to think you're going to get me gone for a couple Fridays. And you're gonna play the playbook here, out of sight, out of mind. Don't. I have my eye on it.
Justin. Justin, yeah. That would never ever happen. I mean, you know, we have a lifetime contract with you. Right.
I'll call
here.
Gabby. I'll call Ed. I'll jump the barricade. I'll get on the show one way or the other. So just mind yourself.
And just because we're talking about it, best thing for Keith Lee, stay off television, go back to NXT. Best thing to happen to that guy's career.
You know, I agree with that a lot of times, Tommy. I guess the question I have, and I guess it's probably different talent to talent, is, you know, are they giving up money? You know, if you're Keith Lee and you come to a Raw or SmackDown for X amount of time, like, you know, are you given a new contract? You know, if you go back to NXT, are you, you know, I guess it's just a matter of what are you losing. And mind you, I'm the guy who I get mad at people referring to Raw and SmackDown as the main roster, because I hate that it diminishes in minor leagues and Triple A's NXT, but I do understand from a revenue standpoint that there is a difference. But I guess that's my question. Whenever we say, oh, this person's not doing anything, let them go back to NXT. They can have fresh matchups and better booking. I just wonder for them how much is it hurting their livelihood?
During the world of COVID, I don't think any. When you get out there on live events, then yes, because you're touring more, larger houses. That is the difference, but I mean, the world kind of shut down. Look what it did for Finn Balor. I don't think it's a step down. I think something up there was not clicking, and I don't even say go to SmackDown, your best bet. Think of him and Karrion Kross. Boom, there's your money. right away. And you could also throw, then you have Finn Balor in there. You also have Adam Cole in there. There's so many. That's a four-way that I would pay to see, you know, pay my own money to see. Best thing that could happen to him, because he was suited well and he was ripped out of NXT for no reason. And then it just didn't work out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live.
SiriusXM Fight Nation is your home for the hardest hitting combat sports talk you'll find in the world. Whether it's pro wrestling, MMA, or boxing, join the conversation with us at 877-FIGHT93 anytime from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern as we react to the hottest storylines, most intriguing matchups, and more.
Oh my God!
Your home for the best all-day combat sports talk anywhere is SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Speaking of Kofi Kingston, joining us right now on Busted Open is Kofi. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Right on time. Just in time to hear you putting me over. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. What's up, Dreamer?
Kofi, I haven't seen you in forever, man.
I know, dude. How have you been?
I have been great. I have two ponytails now. Ooh! I don't have a bald spot anymore. if you need another member, I can I can eat pancakes. I could do a lot of things, whatever you need.
What do your hips look like, Tommy? That's the main criteria. We need to know what the hips look like.
Come on now, man. You've seen me naked plenty of times. My hips are still rocking.
Okay. Just had to make sure. You know, you never want to assume. You never want to assume. So
Kofi.
Yeah.
We're sensing a history repeat. Kofi Mania, is it back? Tell us.
Who knows, man? Yeah, so a lot of people have been saying that. You know, a lot of times when good things happen, they want to make it like a sequel. You know what I'm saying? For me, nothing will ever be the way that Kofi Mania was. I hate when it comes out of my mouth, because it doesn't sound really cool when I say it, you know? But I feel like that was such a unique situation, you know, the way the whole thing came about. I mean, we talk about storytelling in our industry, and for me, that was like a decade plus story. You know what I mean? Like all the chapters and the ups and downs, and it was kind of like the Marvel series, right? Like from Iron Man all the way until like, you know, Avengers, right? So we had a unique ability or a unique opportunity to build it the way that we did. And a lot of it was unintentional because I wasn't supposed to be there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know that there will be anything quite as impactful as Kofi Mania 2, but who knows, you know, who knows what's going to happen after what happened last week, you know, getting two solid victories over Randy Orton and Bob Lashley. You know what I'm saying? It was a good night. It was a good night and unexpected in a lot of ways. But here we are. You know, we march forward and we figure it out as we go.
Kofi, I've watched your career literally since day one. And I got to tell you, like Dave said it, I said it. I watched when you won the title with wrestling fans and people, black, white, blue, purple, everybody was celebrating your victory. And then I remember the video, it was MVP, Shad, and Shelton, they're crying. That hit me on a whole other level because I was just like, man, I was so happy for you because I've known you and you gave the WWE so many moments. And like you said, it was this build of your career, good creative, bad creative, but you still withstood time. And then I'm looking at what you represented for a black person, a black man. I've never viewed you. Oh, there's my black friend, Kofi Kingston, won the title.
Yeah.
He was one of the best wrestlers winning the title. And man, does he deserve it. And when you say talking about recreating that, I don't understand if you know this is an amazing quality that you have that a lot of people got to, you know, maybe from the outsiders look in. You have this unbelievable redeeming quality where people have a connection to you and they like you. But that's also through your hard work. You also have been to the mountaintop, but yet you're still the underdog. The only person like that in wrestling is Rey Mysterio, but you still have that quality. That's like Nirvana. They had that underground. No, they're the rebels. They're one of us. Yet they were selling out arenas. That's a quality that you have that is, man, not a lot of people had that. And you've always had
that. Yeah.
So Kofi Mania can happen again.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate that, Tommy. And everything you said kind of encompasses the entire experience for me because, you know, as African-Americans who are fans of the sport, you know, over time, you start watching and you start seeing, like, who the champions are. And not that everything is about race, but then, you know, you can't help but wonder, like, hey, what's going on? You know, I've seen The Rock is WWE champion, but I haven't really seen any other African-American champions up there. So then you start, you know, wondering like what's happening. I always say, like, it's not like people are sitting around in a room and they're saying, well, we're not going to have any like black champions, or there's no way that we're going to do it. That's not the way that it works. You know, if anyone's been in the industry, you know that like there's a lot of people who deserve to be champion and, you know, don't get that opportunity. But for whatever reason, there was this drought where there wasn't any African-American champions. And a lot of people were saying, hey, it's time, from a performer's aspect, you don't want to be thrust in that role simply because of the color of your skin, right? Oh, we need a black champion. We pick you. It diminishes everything that you've done, you know, your hard work, everything that you've sacrificed to get there, your talent level. So you want to be there because you deserve to be there because of your skill level, because of your way to connect with the crowd, because of your way to go out there, have great matches, you know, tell great stories. That's the reason that you want to be champion as a human being, you know? So for me, that was like, first and foremost, what I wanted, regardless of how long it took, if it was going to happen, it was going to be on my merits, you know? So the fact that it did happen, and again, in a lot of ways, by accident and unintentionally, like, again, if Ali doesn't get hurt, I'm not put into the elimination chamber. The people don't have this groundswell to allow me to get to this point, you know? But yeah, I you know, I think that when it does happen, and then now, you know, African-American kids, and really, I say this all the time, but like beyond race, anybody who has struggled knows that they can identify with my journey because that's what it was. It was an 11-year fight to get to the top, you know? But particularly African-American kids, when they look onto television and they see that anything is possible because I've seen it happen. So I know I can do it because I've seen it. So that's so important. You know, representation is so important. So I was extremely and am extremely proud to have been the first African-born champion for the reason of giving so many people motivation. When I was a kid, I became a WWE superstar because I wanted to like hold all the titles and be like the most popular in the world and be the best wrestler. And the older I get, the more I realize that it's real. I mean, while that is a huge part of like being a WWE superstar, it's not the main part. To me, it's really all about going out, motivating people to be the best versions of themselves, you know, whatever that may be. Because we've all, like I said, we've all been through some kind of a struggle, right? Where you don't know if you want to continue because you don't feel like you're getting your due, or you feel like you're better than the person in the position higher than you are. And you don't know if you want to make it, you don't know if you can, but then you can look to my story and say like, hey man, this guy, he fought for 11 years, a legitimate 11 years. This was not a storyline. This is not the plan, you know, just kept on grinding. And somehow, some way, the stars aligned. And I found myself competing for the WWE Championship, and I won. And, you know, did it in the just the greatest fashion on so many different levels. My family being there, my kids being in the ring, you know, my wife being in the crowd who sacrificed so much, my dad, his first WrestleMania that he went to, my brothers. Yeah, I mean, not to mention like Woods and E, like we worked so hard to like get that moment, to have that moment. We envisioned it and we kept on grinding. People told us that we sucked all over the world in different arenas. They literally told us that what we were doing sucked, and we kept on pushing through. And, you know, the top of the mountain was the result, you know? So yeah, it's again, like a long-winded answer to you, but I think like you hit the nail right on the head, Tommy. I'm just so grateful to be the one that's in the position to inspire people to go out and just, you know, just go out and get what you want, man. Go out there and fight for what you believe in, fight for what you want to attain. And if it happens for you, it's the greatest thing in the world. Because if you could feel like 1/10 of the way that I feel about going to work, then you're going to have a great life and a happy life and a successful life. So I just want everybody in the world to be able to feel that.
Also, too, in that building at MetLife Stadium, and you could tell Corey Graves from me, it's not the shadows of New York City. It's actually New Jersey. There is a state where that stadium is in called New Jersey. But if I'm not mistaken, at WrestleMania 29 at MetLife Stadium, you weren't even on that show. And then you fast forward 6 years later and you had one of the greatest WrestleMania moments of all time in that match. That's got to be a great redemption story for you, knowing that just a few years before you weren't even on the show.
Yeah, it's the thing. And I think it's weird. I look around the locker room and someone was like, oh, you got the most tenure in the locker room. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, there's Randy. Okay. Like, I don't want to be the old guy. You know what I'm saying? But I look around and there's so many like young guys, new guys. And I find myself talking to a lot of them who are discouraged a lot of the times with like where they are with their storylines or, you know, their careers. And they feel like they're so good. And they're so, everyone is so talented on the roster right now. Like everybody wants to be at the top of the mountain, and to the point where, you know, some people might think, well, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to go and I'm going to say, I don't want to do this. So I'm like, well, don't take yourself out of the game. There's a lot of reasons that like people will find to take you out of the game. Oh, well, you didn't do enough of this. You didn't do enough of that. But you don't be the one to take yourself out, you know, because then they have the excuse. Well, he doesn't want to be here. Well, you know what I'm saying? So just hang around, man. Hang around and keep on working. I tell a lot of people because you never know what's going to happen. So, and again, like with what happened this past Monday on Raw, right? Like who thought that I was going to be the one to come out and challenge Bobby Lashley? Like nobody saw that, especially since I already wrestled on the show. So here we are, you know what I'm saying? You keep on grinding. That's what this industry is all about. Like the ability to grind and see beyond like what is in front of you. Like just keep on moving forward no matter what. And whatever opportunity you're given, knock it out of the park every single time. Do your best to be the most memorable thing on the show every single time. And that adds up. You know, that adds up with the people. And when your opportunity comes, you're just ready. So, you know, you stay ready. You don't have to get ready, you know?
Okay, think of this, man, because you're telling me a story and I forgot some of your journey. I just watched the Booker T documentary. He wasn't supposed to be in the match because Rick Martel was supposed to be in. Rick Martel forgot his boots. And then there's all this stuff going on behind the scenes and he literally wins the WCW World Championship. And he was talking about, you know, he had a hard life growing up and he looked at wrestling as a role model. You know, he talked about the junkyard dog and this charisma, all this stuff, because he said he didn't see people of his color in that role because those days there was usually just one African-American wrestler in a locker room who was, you know, in the company. You're now that inspiration. You're that junkyard dog. You're that Booker T. That is surreal to me because, like, I know you, but like, you have embraced that role. But think of how history has kind of repeated itself. But there are a generation of kids, exactly like you said. I watched Kofi Kingston do it, which means I can do it. That's so inspirational. It was Vince McMahon, and I'm sure you heard him say, it's our job to put smiles on people's faces. And you've been doing it for so long and continue to do it. It's awesome, man. It really is.
Oh, thanks,
we're talking
man.
About using your platform to build people up and do stuff like that. You do that. You are living that.
Yeah, you know, without people like Junkyard Dog and Booker T and, you know, Ron Simmons before me, like, none of this is possible. It's a journey, you know. We're all just, you know, doing our part to put our building block on it as we try to, you know, I guess, evolve the business. So, yeah, it's wild to think about. And again, like, I don't like making everything about race, but you think about, like, the main event of Raw was two African-American males wrestling, you know, in the WWE title. Granted, it wasn't a title match, but being in the main event on Raw with the WWE title, like, storyline, like, that's progress, man. Like, we're doing our part again just to, you know, I don't know, just provide, like you said, provide smiles, provide motivation, and just keep on moving, not just the industry forward, but, you know, the world, right? And progress and all that. So, it's funny to, like, look at that now, because I'm still, like, in the storm. But I think when it's all said and done, we'll look back on this, you know, myself, Bobby Lashley, MVP, Shelton, you know, Woods, Bianca, Sasha, we'll all look back and say, like, you know what? We did our part to advance the business. Wasn't it Take that always said, like, he just always wanted to leave the business in a higher place than where he found it? That's the epitome of what we're all trying to do on a lot of different levels. So, yeah, it's crazy to see how far we've come. But, yeah, we're all going to keep on doing our part to keep it going.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Ed Robinson. The associate producer is Gabby Laspisa. Andy King is the director of sports podcasting for SiriusXM. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.